Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. A visiting preacher in a small town in Kentucky was concerned when he began the first night of a revival meeting and noticed all of the men at the revival were wearing guns. Although rattled, he did the best he could with his sermon. When finished, his anxieties heightened as several of the men approached the pulpit with their guns drawn. In panic, he turned to the chairman of the deacons sitting next to him. The deacon calmed his fears. "Don't you worry," said the deacon. "They ain't coming after you. They're looking for the cuss who invited you here to preach." Well, sometimes the pastor needs a place to hide after a sermon. But at least none of you guys carry guns that I know of. In today's lesson, the writer of the Gospel of John captures the closing days of Jesus' life and ministry here on earth. In this chapter, Jesus prays for himself and for his disciples. And when I say his disciples, I mean all of his disciples, including you and me. He prays for our protection, he prays for our preservation, and he prays for our perseverance. Let me begin this morning with Jesus' prayer for protection. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension, his disciples lived in a world in which it would be probably an understatement to say was dangerous if you were one of his followers. You and I are not so unfortunate. We don't face the same kind of persecution. We may be ridiculed for our faith. People may call us naive, but that's hardly the same kind of persecution that Jesus' original disciples had to deal with. In fact, in our land today, Christians are probably more apt to be the persecutors than those being persecuted. However, Jesus knew that when he was no longer with the disciples, the hostility which would fall on them was going to be severe. And it did fall. Almost without exception, they were imprisoned, tortured, and slain in terrible ways. But note this, my friends. When Jesus prays for their protection, he doesn't pray for their safety. When we pray for protection, we pray that nothing painful or harmful will happen to us. Jesus knew better than that. He knew that we live in a world of pain. Some pain is simply unavoidable. But Christ's disciples would experience pain because of their devotion to him. There was no way to avoid that. So rather than pray that they would avoid pain, Jesus prays for their unity. Now, why would Jesus pray for unity? Well, because there's strength in unity. When you have friends and family and fellow church members to whom you can turn to in times of trouble, it's true, you can bear almost any pain. You can bear any turmoil in your life. The church at its best provides that kind of support, that kind of oneness. The wonderful preacher Barbara Brown Taylor gives us a picture of a church where unity provides comfort and security. She writes of the brain-damaged young man who showed up one Sunday and asked to become a member of the church. As carefully as he tried to hide it, it was clear that he was out of everything, out of food, out of money, and out of family to take him in. How does their church respond to that young man's need? Taylor writes. Well, she describes it like this. No one makes a big fuss. Very quietly, someone takes him grocery shopping. Someone else finds him a room. Someone else finds out what happened to his disability check, while someone else makes an appointment to get his teeth fixed. And do you know what? Years later, that young man is still a member of Taylor's church, sitting there in the front pew, surrounded by his family, the church. I think you can see the kind of security that unity brings from that story. This is the protection that the church has always provided for threatened souls. The knowledge that we are not alone. The knowledge that people are praying on our behalf. It is the protection of a loving community. It is a circle of people who will pray for us and stand by us. It's a safe place where people accept us even though they know that we are flawed. At least that's what the church ought to be. I pray that we are that kind of church. Jesus prayed for our protection. He prayed that we would always have that kind of unity. Secondly, in our scripture this morning, we see that Jesus prayed for our preservation. That is, he prayed that none of us will be lost from the fellowship of believers. He prayed that not one of us would ever slip away or have our faith slip in our God. I love the way the psalmist puts it. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus himself holds us in the palm of his hand. He will not let us go. Another place the psalmist puts it, he will preserve our soul. Jesus will preserve us to the very end. As the good shepherd, Jesus took care of the flock that was entrusted to him. Shepherds know that sheep are prone to stray. Good shepherds leave those sheep that are safe in the fold and go and searches for the one that's gone astray. Good shepherds don't let that sheep perish. And Jesus will always be there for us, even when we go astray, no matter how far away we stray. Jesus prays for our protection, and Jesus prays for our preservation. But finally, my friends, we need to note in our scripture that Jesus prays for our perseverance. He prays that we will be steadfast in the faith. You can see why he prayed for those early believers' perseverance, because the whole world depended on them. If they had not done their duty to witness to Christ and his resurrection, we would not have the faith that we have today. And this would be an entirely different world. It's nearly impossible to overstate the difference that the coming of Jesus made to the world. Take a step back. Turn up the news. Look at the barbaric behavior in so much of our world today. And then take a second to imagine what our world would be like without the influence of Jesus. Jesus taught us compassion and understanding and acceptance. He taught us mercy and forgiveness. He taught us to love our neighbor as he first loved us. We would not have the gospel today if those early believers had not persevered. But here's what we desperately need to see. The future of the faith today depends on us just as surely as it depended on those early disciples. Indeed, the future of the world may very well depend on us. The world around us is changing rapidly. Some wonderful things are happening, that's true, such as unbelievable advances in medical technology. But one thing that remains the same, the heart of humanity. We are flawed creatures. Our basic instinct is to look out for number one, even if the result of that instinct is cruel to the well-being of others. It's simply what the Bible calls sin. And because we remain flawed, the future is uncertain. We can have heaven on earth, or we can turn this earth into a living hell. It really is up to us. However, I say to you with all sincerity, this world will not be saved unless we do our part. This is our purpose, to proclaim Christ and his love for all people. It's true. We hear it in our scripture this morning. Jesus prays for our protection, that we will be unified and hold one another up when trouble comes. Jesus prays for our preservation, that none of us will be lost from the fellowship of the church family. His family, the church, remains the world's best hope for peace and reconciliation. And we also learn this morning that the truth is that Jesus prays for our perseverance, that we will persevere in telling the world of Jesus and his love. Amen.